I will read from the Psalm 51, if you'd like to stand for the reading of the Word. Thank you for your kindness. God bless you for your giving. It has been an honor to be in Brother Savage's home. Appreciate him allowing us to stay there. Thankful for everything that God has done. And I need your help again tonight, please. And I pray that the Spirit of God will settle in on this congregation. And God will help us as we try to preach. Would you pray with me right now, please, Father? Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost that I sense right now. And I pray, God, you will do a great work in this altar. In Christ's name we pray. Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. You may be seated. May God bless the reading of his word. Our scripture text tonight is verse 10 of Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. If the Lord would stand by me, I would like to preach to you this message entitled, An Inside Job. A minister told of his church having installed an alarm system in their building, and he was very unfamiliar with it. And one morning, long before daylight, he went over to the church, very unfamiliar with this newly installed alarm system. And he unlocked the building, walked in, and disarmed the alarm system. And then he thought to himself, well, it's very early, and I am here all alone. So he reactivated the alarm system and walked to his office. He had no sooner than seated himself behind his desk than the alarm began to go off. In fright, he said to himself, they're breaking in already. And so he picked up the phone to call 911. And then about that time, the phone rang back to him. It was the security system. He explained, he said, well, I'm here in the building and the alarm has went off. Obviously, somebody's trying to break in and I've already called the police. They're on their way. The man from the security company that answered the 24-hour call service said, sir, are you familiar with your alarm system? And the minister acknowledged that he was not. He said, well, I need to inform you that your alarm system has internal motion sensors all through your building. About that time, the police come up and they're looking for the burglar. And the minister steps out the door and says, the problem is not from the outside, it's the dummy on the inside. I want to preach to you tonight, friend, that if there's a problem on the inside, we're going to have to go inside. I am preaching to people tonight, the problem is an inside problem. And so I am needing you precious people to help me as I try to preach. And I'm depending on the good Holy Ghost to speak words to you that nobody else can speak, because we both know the problem's on the inside, so we're going to have to go inside. They are things that are among us that must be dealt with. They are issues that must be settled. They are circumstances that must be resolved. They are things that we are facing, and we're not going to fix them by ignoring them. We're not going to fix them by looking over them. But God is able to help us in this altar service tonight to go inside and take care of the problem. A pastor was once approached by a woman that he had never seen before. And this woman said to her, "Sir, I'm looking for a church, and my doctor sent me to your church." He was intrigued, and he said, "Well, why is it that the doctor sent you to our church?" She said, "Sir, the story is this." She said, "I just paid thousands and thousands of dollars for a facelift, and this is what that cosmetic surgeon told me. He said, 'Ma'am, I have done an extraordinary job on your face. And if you look in the mirror, you can see, of course, that I have done a great job with your complexion. And you were right well glad to pay a great deal of money for my work. However, I want to give you some free advice. What you need is not me as a surgeon, but you need to go to the house of God. And you need to find people who love God and will help you to deal with the inner problems that you have. Because if you don't deal with the inner problems, you will be back to me again, and your face will be in worse condition than it was when you came to me the first time, because your problem is an inside problem." Dr. S.I. Macmillan, in his book, None of These Diseases, he said it's not the cholesterol, it's not the calories, it's not the caffeine or the carbohydrates that is killing America. It's not the things that we are eating, but it's the things that are eating on us. And I need to preach to a congregation of people tonight. You're good people. I love you, and I've got confidence in you, but I am assured by the authority of the Holy Ghost there's some inside problems we need to take care of in this altar service tonight. We need God of heaven to send a move of the Holy Ghost. And I submit to you that there's nothing that a good old Holy Ghost praying through can't take care of. There's not a thing in this building tonight as what a good move of the Holy Ghost can't take care of. There are things that are unconfessed. They are things that are unsurrendered. And they are things that are unresolved. And because of these things that are unconfessed, and because of these things that are unsurrendered, and because of these things that are unresolved, we're not having the revival that we need to have. And we're not having the move of God that we so desperately need. What do you say, church? Let's make it up in our heart and mind that in this altar tonight, we're going to get whatever is in the way out of the way, and we're going to have a move of God. If it takes an apology, if it takes restitution, if it takes going to someone and saying, "I'm sorry, I'm going to take care of the problem. I want God to do an inside job in my life." For unconfessed sins that are haunting you, you need an inside job. This is what David said in his prayer of repentance: "Create in me a clean heart." Here David was. God had so marvelously elevated and used him. He had brought him from the solitude of the pastoral district of Palestine and raised him up to the royal palace of the realm. A young shepherd boy that was Israel's sweetest singer and Israel's greatest statesman and Israel's greatest soldier. And now, with pride and arrogancy, he steps out and commits adultery and ultimately murder. And now for a year or longer, this sin has been hidden and harbored in his life. And he comes before God and says, "Lord, what I need is an inside job." And I'm preaching to somebody here tonight, spray paint won't fix rust. Oh, help me while I preach. And a Band-Aid won't remove a tumor. And wax on the hood is not going to repair a knock in the motor. You're going to have to do more than put on another face. You need an inside job. You need God to deal with you. You need God to send conviction on your heart until you fall into an altar and say, "It's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. I need an inside job." David is overwhelmed by the burden of regret. May I say to you, young person, may I say to you, young man, sin is a load you can't carry. Sin is a load you cannot carry. And what you need to do is give that to God. Confess your sins. Some years ago, there was a man by the name of Richard Hoffler. Richard Hoffler, in his book, Will Daylight Come, tells the story of a little boy who he and his sister are visiting their grandparents for the summer. While this young boy is there visiting his grandparents for the summer, he is given his first slingshot. He practices daily in the woods, but he can never hit a target. And so one day he's coming back into grandmother's yard, and there's grandmother's pet duck. And on a whim and an impulse, he took aim with his slingshot and let the rock fly. And much to his amazement, the stone hit and the duck fell dead. In panic, the boy looked around desperately as if what to do. And he took the dead duck over to the woodpile and hid it beneath sticks of wood, only to turn and look, and there was his sister. She had witnessed it all. She said nothing at all to him, and they went to supper. After supper, grandmother said, "Sally, help me in the kitchen, and we'll take care of the dishes." Sally said, "Grandma, Johnny wants to do the dishes today. He told me he wanted to help you with the dishes." This went on day after day after day. Johnny did all of his chores as well as Sally's chores. If at any time he protested, she would say, "Remember the duck." A week passes by, and so Johnny goes to grandmother and says, "Grandmother, I'm sorry I killed that duck." Here's what grandmother said: "I know, Johnny. I was standing at the kitchen window, and I saw the whole thing. I forgave you then. I just wondered how long you would let Sally make a slave of you." And that's what I need to ask you tonight. You see, here's what repentance is. Repentance is admitting to God what he saw you do. And you just need to go ahead and tell God what he saw you do and come to an altar and let God do an inside job. Let God create in you a clean heart. Let God create in you a clean heart. Oh, I believe there's somebody under the sound of my voice tonight. You're wanting to come and say, "Lord, I cannot bear this unconfessed sin that haunts me any longer. I want to come, God, and let you do an inside job." Would you lift your hands and ask God to do it here tonight? Oh, hallelujah. David is overwhelmed by the burden of regret. You see, restoration begins when repentance is as loud as the offense. I hope I don't upset you too much here now. But you can only be restored when your repentance is as loud as your offense. How are we ever going to deal with immorality if every time it happens, we want to sweep it under the rug? You're not helping me while I preach. You know, they are preachers that have been among us in the past, and some are still among us. They were against immorality returning to the pulpit until it happened in their family. But when it happened in their family, they wanted to change their theology. But I'm preaching you tonight, the only way to take care of the sin issue is to repent of the sin issue and get it under the blood. And you cannot repent of something until you confess it. You gonna help me while I preach? You see what we have done? We have destroyed the integrity of the pulpit. We have destroyed the integrity of church office because we have people that are in places of prominence and places of leadership that they ought to be put out, amen, because they were not willing to repent. They were not, you are not helping me while I preach. I thought I hit a stump. Now I'm from South Alabama and I know how to plow. And when you hit a stump, you just back up and drop your plow and plow a little deeper. So I'm going to preach to you. It takes a sanctified life. It takes a holy life. It takes a pure life. And if you've not been living holy, and if you've not been living pure, you need to come and repent and say, oh God, would you do an inside job? Would you lift your hands and give God praise? David at first is overwhelmed by the burden of regret. But by the time you reach the end of this psalm, he's overjoyed by the blessing of repentance. For you see, David just confesses to God what God saw him do. And he found that God was right, willing, and ready to forgive. There's a wonderful old Spanish story. In this old Spanish story, it's told of a father and son who became estranged. The son had went away in rebellion to Madrid. And he's gone for weeks and months. And finally the father can take it no longer. And the father goes to the newspaper there in that great city of Madrid, Spain. And he puts a single advertisement that simply says these words: Paco, your daddy loves you, and he's come to take you home. Meet me tomorrow at noon at the newspaper office in Madrid. I've come to take you home. And so the father waits till noon the next day in that large city of Madrid, wondering if Paco will come so he can take him home. But much to his surprise, before noon, there's boys everywhere. And the account says that by 12 noon, his son and 799 other boys named Paco had come to that newspaper office that day hoping it was their dad that said, I want you to come back home. And may I say to every backslider, may I say to every wayward soul, may I say to everyone that has been rebellious, to everyone that has fallen, there's a father that's come tonight on a Thursday night account meeting and say, I want to take you back home. I'm going to pardon. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to receive you. I'm going to take you back. He's here to do it tonight. For that one who's haunted by unconfessed sins, he'll forgive you. I feel mercy and I feel grace in the house tonight. For those unconfessed sins that are haunting you, God can do an inside job. But may I preach on, please? There are some of you that it's not something that is haunting you, But if you'll allow me, please, it's something that's hindering you for that unsurrendered struggle that's hindering you. This is the way Peter says it in 1 Peter 4 and 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Unsurrendered struggles that are hindering you. What need you to do with that tonight? Cast it. This is a wonderful word, casting. Peter's craft colors his language. Jesus came to Galilee and they were casting their nets. The idea of this word cast, it means to thrust away. It means to put out from. The disciples were casting their net. The Bible said that when our Lord had went over Kidron, that He went about a stone's throw. Same word there. He went about a stone's cast. And so what Peter is saying, for those struggles that are hindering you, for those cares that are burdening you, for that thing that is weighting you down, you've got to cast it. There are some of you here tonight, it was unjust, I admit, and perhaps unfair. It may have been needless, and you are a victim of an unfortunate thing that has happened in your life. But if you're not careful, you're going to let that thing wear you down. Oh, I need the Holy Ghost to help me while I preach. You're going to let that thing weight you down, and you're going to become so engrossed, you're going to become so entangled, and you're going to become so encumbered by that weight that it's going to hinder your walk. Are you helping me while I preach? You're going to allow that thing to sideline you. You're going to allow that thing to sidetrack you. You're going to allow that thing to get you off course, and you're going to err from the way. But on the authority of the Holy Ghost, would you cast it from you tonight? Would you let God do an inside job in your heart? Would you let the Holy Ghost do an inside job and cast it from you? Corrie ten Boom confessed that she had such difficulty in forgiving those that had treated her and Bessie so terribly. And she said, when I thought I had it prayed through, it would leave me for a time, and then there would be a wave of bitterness that would come over me as I remembered the injustices and the horrible things that my sister and I suffered at the hands of those German soldiers. And she said, I would feel anger begin to rise up, and hatred would begin to fester within me. And try as I might, I could not get beyond it. She said it was a Lutheran pastor that helped her pray through over it. She confessed to him her dilemma. And he looked at her and said, Corrie, every time we have service, there is a man that will climb up to the belfry and he will ring the bell. That's his job, to ring the bell. As long as he pulls the rope, the bell will ring. And by, he lets go of the rope. And yet still, the clapper will swing and the bell will ring. But given time, if he keeps his hand off the rope, the bell will become quiet. He said, what you must do is get your hand off the rope. Don't ever touch it again. And by, the bell will be silent. She said, upon that, I purposed that I would never in my life again entertain those thoughts. And if they did come, she said, I would rebuke them instantly, and I would never pull that rope of bitterness again. And years and years and years went by, and someone came to her and mentioned a certain thing that had happened to her, and she turned to them and firmly said, I distinctly remember forgetting that. And that's exactly what you're going to have to do tonight, is let the Holy Ghost do an inside job. definite action you must fulfill. And it's followed by a divine assurance that you will feel until you realize that you can cast all your care on Him, for He careth for you. But you'll never know how much He cares until you cast it on Him. Oh, hallelujah. For those unconfessed sins that are haunting you, He can do an inside job. For those unsurrendered struggles that are hindering you, He can do an inside job. Come close now. For those unresolved situations that are hurting you, oh, please help me, Holy Ghost. For those unresolved situations that are hurting you, He can do an inside job. Watch this. This is what our Lord says. When thou goest to the altar, and you bring your gift to the altar, and you remember thy brother that hath aught against thee, leave your gift at the altar. Go first, then come. May I preach to you, please? You see, at the altar, there is a reflection of ourselves in the presence of God. You see, if you never get in the altar, you're never going to get to the root of the problem. Please help me, Lord. There was something about those worshipers that would come there and bring their gift in the presence of those golden candlesticks, bring their gift. They were made to see a reflection of themselves in the presence of God. But if you never get in the altar, you never get to the root of the problem. What about tonight? Let's get in the altar and get to the root of the problem. A missionary said that she went to a very primitive group of people. They were so primitive that, of course, they had no conveniences such as electricity or running water. This missionary said that those natives had never even seen a mirror. And when she first went to them, she would take a bucket and go to the creek, and she had took a mirror and placed it upon a tree. She said one day a native came in to where she was staying, and this was that native's words: whose picture with such a horrible face is hanging on that tree? Whose picture with such a horrible face is hanging on that tree? Very carefully and candidly, the missionary explained that that was not a picture, but it was a mirror. And the face that the native saw was her own face. Whereupon that native, in agitation, reached, and before she could stop, that native grabbed that mirror from the tree and thrust it to the ground and shattered it to bits, and then proudly said, "Now I'll never have to look at that face again." Is that why you're fighting the Holy Ghost tonight? Is that why you're resisting the Holy Ghost? Because there's something about you getting in that altar. Oh, happy Lord. There's a reflection there, and you're not happy with what you see, because in that reflection you see anger. In that reflection you see unforgiveness. You feel like you have been betrayed. you feel like that you have been unjustly treated, I sure need a praying church right now. You feel like that your brother has misused and maligned you. You feel like that you have been falsely accused. Anybody going to help me while I preach? And I feel those resisting forces of hell even now while I preach. But that's all right. The Holy Ghost is greater, and God has come to do an inside job on somebody's heart. I know it's unresolved. I know it's a difficulty. I know it's a hard situation. But it's not the grace of God greater. It's not the grace of God greater. Don't you think we can pray it through? Don't you think the Holy Ghost is able to come to us and cause us to see what manner of man we really are? Pray with me, church. I'm going somewhere. You see, when we get in that altar, the reflection of ourselves is revealed in the presence of God. And it's there and there alone that we are made to realize what manner of person we really are. But it's only then, when we get in the altar, God can do an inside job. George Augustus Selwyn says that this text was made so real to him. Some of you know the story of George Augustus Selwyn. George Augustus Selwyn was the missionary that went down under. He went to the Aborigines of New Zealand. George Augustus Selwyn was the first white man to take the gospel to the Aborigines of the South Sea. He said this text where Jesus said, if you remember your brother, leave your gift and go first to your brother. He said it was the custom of those natives that he preached to for them to eat the flesh of their enemies. And he said, but I had a number of native converts that the Lord had so wondrously saved. And he said, once we were having a meeting and some converts from another village, they came over. And he said, we had met at the Lord's table and had communion. And he said, then they all began to come up close and kneel around and pray. He said, all of a sudden I saw a wicked scowl and a look of anger and hatred come over the face of one of my newest converts. And said, I saw him as he suddenly stood up from his prayer, went back to the bench and sat down. But by and by, he went over to a man that was kneeling, said something to him, and they wept on each other's shoulders. He said, I didn't understand what was going on. He said, after service, I came to understand the man that I had saw with such anger and hatred on his face had looked across the crowd and seen the face of the very man who had killed his father many years before and eat his father's flesh. And he said, I had took an oath that if I ever saw the man that killed my daddy and eat him, that I would kill him then. He said, but while at the altar, I saw that man and I had hatred in my heart. But he said, then I remembered that it was God for Christ's sake who had forgiven me. And if God for Christ's sake had forgiven me, I also had to forgive him. I know you've been done bad. I know it's been a hard road. I know it's been a long climb. But that person that you've got anger against, that person that you've got resentment against, you need to remember that for them also Christ died. And were it not for his mercy, were it not for his grace, every one of us would be in hell right now. But because of grace, when we were going downward, backward, and devilward, and hellward, and we couldn't stop ourselves, grace caught us and mercy bought us. I'm glad for God's love, and I'm glad for God's grace. And considering that we have been forgiven, ought not we forgive one another? R. Kent Hughes tells this true story. They were identical twins. They were inseparable. They were inseparable as boys. They were inseparable as youth. They went to school together. They went to college together. They came back home from college. And this pair of identical twins took over the family hardware store. And they neither ever married. These two young men were together in everything they done. When father retired, they shared the family business. One day, one of the twins was busy at the front of the store. And just about the time that he made a sale of only a dollar, another customer came in. And he just turned and laid that dollar bill on top of the cash register and got busy with something else. The other brother was somewhere else in the store and never even seen the exchange. Never knew anything of the sale. Never knew anything of the dollar bill. But later on in the course of the day, the one twin said to his brother, Did you get that dollar bill off the top of the cash register and put it in the cash drawer? Innocently and unknowingly? He said, no, I didn't. A hint of suspicion was in his voice, but he let it drop. Later in the day, he said, are you sure that you didn't pick up that dollar? Are you sure you didn't pick up that dollar? It needled his twin, and he came back at him angrily and said, I told you I didn't get the dollar. The next day, it came up again. Oh, help me, Lord. And the next day, it came up again. And R. Kent Hughes in this true story says that by and by, every time that single dollar was mentioned and the mystery of where it went, there was anger and there were suppositions and there were charges and countercharges, until by and by, twin brothers that were identical and inseparable had carpenters come in and put a partition wall down the middle of their store. It became an issue not only of brothers, but became an issue of community, unto where if you shopped on this side, you didn't shop on this side. Are you going to help me while I preach? All over the misunderstanding of a dollar. 20 plus years passed by. 20 years passed by. And one day, a long, fashionable, brand new automobile pulls up in front of these stores. And a man gets out that is obviously well-to-do, for he's well-groomed and handsomely dressed. He walks into one side of the store, and he's very nervous, and he's very agitated. And he begins by saying this, I have a confession to make. I have come to right a wrong. The man looks at him, the proprietor, the owner of the store, as if, what are you saying? And he says, have you been in business over 20 years? The man said, a lot longer than 20 years. He said, over 20 years ago, I was riding the rails. I had been reared in a Christian home, and my mother had taught me, don't you ever steal anything. He said, but over 20 years ago, I was riding the rails, and I come through this little town, and I jumped off of a train car out back. I had not eaten in over 3 days, and I was hungry, and I crept through the back door of your store, and I saw a dollar bill laying on a cash register, and I took it, and it has haunted me till this day, and I've come to ask for forgiveness and pay whatever I need to make restitution. By this time now, that storekeeper's trembling and he's crying, and he says, there's only one thing you can do, mister. Would you go with me next door and tell that story? And so the man goes next door, and when they get next door, much to his surprise, there's a man that looks identical to the man he just talked to, and he rehearses the same story. But before he can ever get finished with the story, two identical twins are wrapped up in each other's arms begging for forgiveness. But it all happened because of a misunderstanding. I need
need to preach to somebody tonight. It's not worth it. I said it's not worth it. You need to let God do an inside job and let God fix it and let God make it right.
Stand all over the house. Stand all over the house. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. An inside job. While Brother Brent's getting me a song, Father in Heaven, would you do that inside job on a life tonight, Lord? I think that little girl had it right, even though she said it wrong. The little girl heard about her dad having a heart procedure, and there'd been much talk about it. And I think she said it right, even though she had the wrong word. Someone remarked and said, "What is it your daddy's having done?" She said, "Oh, daddy's having a pacemaker put in." I wish somebody had come to this altar tonight and let God put a pacemaker in. I wish somebody had come to this altar tonight and let God put a peacemaker in. I don't know where this message may have found you. I don't know what part of this preaching may have come close to where you're at. But you'd just be honest enough with yourself and God to say, "Lord, I need you to do an inside job. I want you to come on right now. Whatever it is, for sins unforgiven, for something that you're struggling with, for something that's unresolved, I'm coming tonight, Lord, and I want you to do an inside job." Have I got a praying church right now? Lift that right hand to heaven and say, "God, would you give us souls in this altar right now?" For that backslider, the Father waits. Come home. Would you agree with me, church, that God's going to give us souls on this altar tonight? For a young life that feels so embittered, that feels so hardened and so angry, come and let God do an inside job right now. I'm preaching to some young married couples. I may be preaching to a preacher's wife. You're really struggling with resentment right now. And you need to be willing to step out from where you're at and say, "Lord, would you do an inside job? I don't want to be hard, Lord. I don't want to be angry. I don't like that callous feeling, Lord. I don't want to be this way. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." That's what I need the Lord to do tonight, Brother Chad. I need the Lord to do an inside job. Oh, I believe God's helping us. I sure would like to see you make a move tonight, sis. I sure would like to see you make a move tonight, sir. And say, "You know what? I really think would help a whole lot if I just let God do something with me." Don't break the mirror. No. But look at the reflection of what God has shown you in your own self. And say, "Here's where I need to start. I need to start with me. I'm waiting on you. Conviction's dealing. God's wooing hearts. I need an inside job, Brother Shane." Would you like to pray? Tarry with me, church. You that know how to labor with the man of God, would you ask God to just help us draw in the net right now? We're not yet where we need to be in this altar service. There are some of you that are really struggling with some things, and you need to let go of the rope. You need to let go of the rope.
Wait for me tomorrow.
Have your way, Holy Ghost.
When the sun reveals my broken dreams scattered on.
You feel like you got a dirty deal. You think you got the short end of the stick. And because of that, you're going to let the enemy rob you of the joy of your salvation. We've had a wonderful response, but you've not responded. We've had a wonderful response, but you've not responded. I'm waiting on you in the name of Jesus. Would you leave your seat right now and say, I'm coming, Brother Shad, because I need an inside job. Would you pray with me, church? Somebody needs God to do it tonight. Would you help me right now, please?
Please forgive me. Need your grace to make it through.
Oh, hallelujah.
All I have.
I believe there's some more here.
I'm at your mercy.
I believe there's others. I believe there's some more that God's dealing with.
Until my
I need God to do an inside job in my life. That's right, please come.
Way, I'm at your mercy.
Come right home. God bless your heart.
Please forgive me. I can't believe
trust Him to do it.
The God of earth.
Oh, God, I want you to do it for me tonight.
We'll take
now, how about
time
you?
Time to care for one like
how about
me?
You? Do you need God to do an inside job?
In the Bible, that old story. How He pled for my forgiveness while He was dying.
Thank God for those that's come, but you need to come.
Please forgive me. Need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy.
Come.
Lord, I'll serve. Oh, until my dying day. Others find your way. I'm at your mercy.
Yes. God sees that.
Forgive me.
Yeah.
My strength is gone. My heart is full of sorrow. I can't.
I'm waiting on you.
How much I've let you down. I dread the pain that waits for me tomorrow. When the sun reveals my broken dreams shattered on the ground.
Let's make it 100%. There's room on the platform. As close as you can. Please try not to congest this center aisle. Move to the walls. Give everyone space, please, to come in as close as they want. Come in around the front.
Until my dying day, help others find their way. I'm at your mercy. Forgive me. Oh, please forgive me. Need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. I'll serve you until my dying day. I'll help others find. I'm at your mercy. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Need your grace to make it through. Oh, all I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. I'll help others find their way.
I'm at your mercy.
Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. Oh, all I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you. Oh, until my dying day, I'll help others find their way. I'm at your mercy. Oh, please forgive me. I can't believe the God of earth and glory would take the time to care for one like me. But I read in the Bible that old story, how he prayed for my forgiveness while he was dying on a tree. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. Babe, all I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. I'll help others find a way. I'm at your mercy. Oh, please forgive me. Oh, hallelujah! Please forgive me. Find your way. I'm at your mercy. Please forgive me. I can't believe the God of earth and glory would take the time to care for one like me. But I read in the Bible that old story, how he bled for my forgiveness while he was dying on a tree. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. Oh, all I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. Help others find their way. I'm at your mercy. Oh, come on, church. Please forgive me. Oh, please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. I'll serve you until my dying day. Help others find their way. I'm at your mercy. Please forgive me. I can't believe the God of earth glory would take the time to care for one like me. But I read in the Bible that old story, oh, how he prayed for my forgiveness while he was dying on a tree. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. Oh, all I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. Help others find their way. I'm at your mercy. Please forgive me. Sing it with us. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve. of you until my dying day. Help others find a way. I'm at your mercy. Please forgive me. Sleep is gone, my heart is full of sorrow. Can't believe how much I've let you down. I dread the pain that waits for me tomorrow. And the sun reveals my broken dreams scattered on the ground. Forgive me, oh, I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you, I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. Help others find a way, I'm at your mercy. Please forgive me. God move.